Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. Good morning. It's now 7:33. It's the Faith Radio Network. I'm Austin Hill in the house weekday morning, 6 till 8, as we seek to connect faith to life. What an upside-down world we live in. Nations being destroyed and overturned, seemingly the strongest nations in the world, ignoring the problems altogether. A group called the Islamic State terrorizing countries and individuals and Christians in particular, but we are told by our leaders that has nothing to do with Islam. People who don't work being rewarded, those who work and produce being penalized. Marriage being redefined before our eyes. Christians being removed from college and university campuses in the United States of America. What sense do we make of a very complex world in which we live? It's a very broad question, and it's a big one. My next guest is author of a brand new book called True Paradox: How Christianity Makes Sense of Our Complex World. David Skeel joins us on our guest line here on the Faith Radio Network. David Skeel, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Boy, your book could not arrive at a better time. Are you anticipating things to get a little more complex before they get any better?
Well, it's hard to imagine them getting any more complex, but it is possible. I mean, we're living in a very, very strange and crazy and complex time by any yardstick.
Where do you begin this discussion about trying to make sense of this crazy time that we live in?
Where I start is by the observation that in my world and in a lot of listeners' worlds, I think, as well, there's a widespread perception that the complexity you were just talking about, and complexity generally, is an embarrassment for Christianity. I'm often asked, how in the world can a 2,000-year-old religion speak into a world that is so different from anything anybody imagined historically? And my answer and the starting point of this book is to say this actually gets things exactly backwards. When you look at many of the most puzzling dimensions of our lives and the way we experience the world, Christianity actually has much better explanations than the other views, the other religions, other systems of thought. So I go on to talk about how we experience beauty, how we handle suffering, what to make of our longing for justice, and conclude with a chapter about the afterlife. And in each of these areas, I say there aren't good explanations from a non-Christian perspective, and there are very good explanations from a Christian perspective.
Very interesting. David Skeel, can you give us an example of something that maybe us everyday folks, we experience it over the course of our lifetimes in a day or in a week or in a month or whatever, we're aware that, hey, this is an issue, this is a problem in our culture, it's complex, but Christianity helps us sort us out. What would be an example of that?
So just each of the chapters could be seen as an example of that. But given the things that we're all talking about right now, one example is what I call the justice paradox. If you look back through history, repeatedly, men and women have thought that if we just got our laws right, if we just changed them a little bit, we could ensure that we had a fully just society. And every time we try to do that, every time we have this optimism about justice, it fails. And yet we forget the failures, and the next time around we think we're right on the cusp of achieving justice again. That's something that's really puzzling from an atheist point of view. Why is it that we can't achieve justice? Christianity explains that. Christianity rests on a story in which the law fails. Jesus was tried under two of the greatest legal systems the world had ever known, Jewish law and Roman law. Mm-hmm. And not only did both systems fail, but they actually made matters worse by giving the imprimatur of the law on what was in essence a murder. They made what looks like a murder seem as if it was legitimate. And so I talk about that and talk about some of the implications for things like human rights and how we think about justice. And that's something that I think is around all of us every day.
Yeah, I'm struck with this notion of defining what justice is or even what goodness is apart from Christianity, even if our, some of our friends or even people within the reach of our voice, voices right now, David, even if they don't identify themselves as atheists per se, they may be very secular people and may think in terms of, well, one need not necessarily be a Christian to do good works. Clearly, there's very secular, atheistic people who do good things, but the definition of good has to come from somewhere. At least that's what I'm wrestling with. I got this kind of surprise phone call out of the blue just yesterday from a colleague of mine out on the West Coast, another part of the country, had said, all right, so we were in this lunchtime discussion, and we were pondering whether or not one could vote for a presidential candidate who is an atheist, even if they supported all your issues and things that you believe in and whatnot. Could you ever vote for an atheist? And I sort of got into this idea of, you know, our definition of right from wrong, whether we believe in God or not, our definitions of such things have to come from somewhere. Talk to us, if you would, about these broad, high-minded categories of justice and goodness and virtue apart from God.
I think it is very, very difficult to define these terms or to think about these terms apart from God. And one way you might characterize that is if you don't have some idea of God, there really isn't an objective foundation for any of these things, that we can't objectively say what goodness is or what justice is apart from some kind of foundation. And from an atheist perspective, there really isn't a foundation. And this is a great puzzle for atheists, because everybody, every one of us has a strong sense of right and wrong in certain circumstances. And from an atheist point of view, it's hard to explain why that is and why one thing is right and another thing is wrong. Another example that I think about a lot, given that I'm a law professor, is human rights. Everybody is in favor of human rights or says they're in favor of human rights now, but absent a Christian perspective, it's hard to explain what human rights are and where they come from. Whereas for a Christian, it's quite easy to explain that each of us is made in the image of God and has dignity as the result of being made in the image of God, and that should be the basis for rights. So with Christianity, there is a foundation. Apart from Christianity, it's really hard to identify what your starting point is.
David Skeel, do you find it a challenge at times to speak to people within the context of the church, and I mean the Christian church very broadly speaking? Is it difficult to speak to people in the church and say, here's why these deep philosophical things matter? I get concerned at times that maybe some of us don't think about these issues like justice, definition of good, definitions of right and wrong. Maybe we don't think of these quite enough at times in the context of the church. We have the answers, but we need to recognize the questions first. What are your thoughts on that?
So my thought on that is there's a real tendency in our culture, particularly at this point in time, to define things in subjective terms, to assume that we know what's right and what's wrong. We know what justice is. And if you look at the world that way, justice or goodness or virtue ends up being there end up being 300 million different definitions of it in the United States, and no one of which you can defend against another. And so I think it's a particular problem in our culture, and I do have conversations along those lines. And I start out maybe in good law professor fashion by saying you really have to define what your starting points are, and we have to agree on what we mean by justice and what we mean by virtue. And sometimes that people are a little taken aback by that. But otherwise, you just end up with subjective definitions, and one person's definition is no better than anybody else's.
Well, and that seems to be a very possible notion. My beliefs are what they are, and no better or worse than yours. I mean, we live in a pretty subjective, personalized sort of culture, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And this is particularly true of the group who are known as millennials, Americans who were born after 1980. they tend to be characterized by, or a term that I think well characterizes the way many of them look at the world is expressive individualism. What is meant by this is a subjective sense of who they are and what is right and wrong. And there are lots of problems with that. And we've been talking about the main one, I think, which is you really can't articulate why one vision is different than another vision. You really have to go back to first principles.
Very interesting. Let's talk about first principles when we come back and talk further about your book. David Skeel is my guest. He is a law professor and the author of a new book called True Paradox: How Christianity Makes Sense of Our Complex World. More with author David Skeel when we continue. It's now 7:43. It's the Faith Radio Network you're listening to, and I'm Austin Hill. We're glad you're with us. Seven 7:46 on the Faith Radio Network. This is where we connect faith to life. And I'm Austin Hill in the house every weekday morning, 6 till 8, as you get your day started. Coming up, some news about the Ebola virus and some of the panic that is settling in across the United States. That which is warranted and that which is unwarranted. I'll tell you about that in just a few moments. David Skeel is a law professor. He's also the author of a brand new book called True Paradox: How Christianity Makes Sense of Our Complex World. David, what exactly is the paradox that you're getting at? What's paradoxical about what you're saying in your book?
So there are a number of paradoxes in the book, and just to take one of them, I talk about beauty and the experience of beauty that we all have at one point or other in our lives, either beauty in nature or beauty in art. There is a paradoxical sense of transcendence that we feel as though we're tapping into a greater reality, a greater goodness in the universe on the one hand, but on the other hand, we're still in the physical world and in our ordinary lives. And there are a number of paradoxes like this, where two things are happening at the same time, and it seems to me these paradoxes really echo some of the beautiful paradoxes of our faith. The fact that Jesus is both all man and all God. The fact that God is three persons and yet one God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and yet one God. And I really think that Christianity helps us to explain these paradoxes and these paradoxical experiences that we have in our lives.
It strikes me that Western civilization has been, in many ways, defined by some of these paradoxes that you're describing. That which we have always known, those of us who are alive today in the United States of America, basic societal and social structures, our understandings of beauty, our understandings of good and bad and right and wrong and justice, they have been defined by a biblical Judeo-Christian tradition, even though over the course of my lifetime and yours as well, David, this secularization has set in, and so we may call it justice, but we don't want to acknowledge its biblical roots. It occurs to me we live at such a time where the veneer is wearing thin, and some of the biblical grounding that our civilization has always been founded on, that's wearing away as well. And it seems to me that civil society is really under attack and very threatened at this time. Is that overstating the present state of things, would you say, or is that kind of where we're at right now?
I think in many respects that is where we're at, and I would add to that many people just don't think that Christianity and those Judeo-Christian origins and foundations are relevant. You really have to get their attention either by showing them ways in which Christianity explains the society that we're living in, or by explaining the history and where it came from. One thing that I've been struck by in the writing of some of the most famous atheists that people talk about now, people like Richard Dawkins or Sam Harris or Steven Pinker, they almost deliberately ignore the Christian foundations of our culture. They'll talk about the things that are good in our culture, like they'll talk about reason and say something about justice, and they almost deliberately ignore that all of these concepts were developed in connection with Christianity historically. And so I don't think you're overstating the case. I'm not a complete pessimist. I really do feel that only Christianity can explain these things, and so I think in the long run that explanation will come out. But we're in a real muddle right now.
We are in a muddle. David Skeel, author of the book True Paradox, How Christianity Makes Sense of Our Complex World. What are some things, maybe two or three things, that those of us who are laity in the church can start doing, like pronto, like maybe today or this weekend, to start making a difference? I mean, I personally, I'm sort of a minority voice, I guess, at least I feel that way at times in the Christian community, in as much as I think the church should care about culture and civilization, and we should have something to say about the ways in which culture and civilization go. I hope there's others who agree with that, but for those who want to make a positive direction, what do we do? Give us some action steps, if you would.
So a couple different things come to mind. One is talking about these kinds of issues, talking about justice and why we care about justice, particularly when a really controversial question of justice comes up, such as the problems in Ferguson a month or so ago. We can talk about what Christianity tells us about human rights and tells us about race relations and tells us about civil society. So that's part of it. The other part of it, it seems to me, is showing people by the way we live our lives. So one aspect of the Ebola crisis that we're all talking about that doesn't get as much attention as it ought to, in my view, is mm-hmm. that the people who were affected initially were Christians. You know, they were putting their lives on the line to help people, mm-hmm. and that's the kind of testimony I think we should be making. And another thing I would throw out is our marriages and our families. You know, family is under attack now, and the best way to respond, I think, is to work on having better marriages, better families, and a better witness in our community. So I think it's both telling and showing by our lives what it means to be a follower of Christ.
Very well stated. David Skeel, he is a law professor, author of a brand new book from the InterVarsity Press publishing label. It's called True Paradox, How Christianity Makes Sense of Our Complex World. And that is music to my ears to hear such a message. I hope it is to you. David Skeel, thank you for what you do. I'm personally grateful that you undertook this effort to write a book on this subject. And we look forward to having you join us again, I hope.
I'd love to come back, and thank you for what you do as well. It is absolutely essential.
Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.